Did you know the United Nations Security Council passed a groundbreaking resolution on women, peace, and security? That resolution, Resolution 1325, calls for women's participation in conflict prevention, resolution, and peace building.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Mom! 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 Help! Help! Somebody help! Anybody! Oh, please, God, please save my husband. He's all I have left. Please, God!
Sadia and
please.
Her seven children have just watched militia split open her husband's throat in a night raid. They are the latest victims of the war in Gulu district of northern Uganda. In Sierra Leone, Liberia, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Rwanda, Angola, Sudan, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Somalia, and northern Uganda, this is the time for African women to stand up and fight against war, not by the use of guns and machetes, but by just seeking space at the peace table.
You've been listening to excerpts from promotional radio materials produced by the International Women's Tribune Center in collaboration with non-governmental organizations and community radio stations in Africa and the Philippines. Since the year 2000, women have been striving to make reality out of United Nations Security Council Resolution 1325. 1325 calls for protection of women in conflict situations, equal participation for women in peace negotiations and conflict prevention at all levels, prosecution of war crimes against women, and support for women's peace-building activities. Rachel Mayanja from Uganda is Special Advisor to the UN Secretary General on gender issues and the advancement of women. Mayanja has law degrees from Makerere University and Harvard Law School, and she has served in peacekeeping missions in Namibia and Iraq.
We do need women who understand other women to take part in these peacekeeping missions. You have women who are in camps. You have women who are in need of rehabilitation. You have women who are in need of shelter. You have a woman who has been raped, and in particular raped by a man or men in some sort of uniform, it will be very difficult for them to trust even our peacekeepers who are men in uniform. Therefore, we find that the use of women makes it easier for us to communicate with these women, to try to understand what has happened and how the UN can help them. We have them in all the peacekeeping missions, but not in sufficient numbers. There are special attributes that women bring to the negotiation of peace, for example. But I have to tell you that I am personally disappointed that there haven't been many more women involved. For example, in the negotiations in the Darfur, in Abuja, we did not have enough women. We had, I believe, a couple of women. We need to engage many more women. And we have women who are involved in activism on these issues, national women. And we have NGOs in the countries who are actively involved seeking, interventions. But somehow when it comes to the negotiation of peace, they are excluded. We have women in governments, women parliamentarians, women ministers, but when it comes to negotiation, these women somehow are overlooked. We have seen increased number of women taking part in the political process in parliaments. Surely, if they are able to contest for elections and be elected, they are going to be able to negotiate during these peace negotiations.
Ellen Johnson Sirleaf's election in Liberia has demonstrated what women can achieve when they are organized and has also demonstrated that both men and women can have confidence in a woman to lead.
Jessica Nkue is Associate Director of ISIS WICA, a non-governmental organization helping women who suffer from conflicts in Uganda.
Ever since ISIS WICA got involved with the UN Resolution 1325, and that was soon after its passing in October 2000, the organization has embarked on ensuring that the women themselves understand this resolution. And therefore, as part of our training, we included issues of international humanitarian law and also gave women skills in negotiation, in understanding, analyzing, and resolving conflicts, as well as those in advocacy, so that when they are invited to negotiation tables, they will have the requisite skills necessary for the exercise. At the same time, the organization has been involved in documenting experiences of women in situations of armed conflict, and we can, together with other women, join the campaign to stop that kind of violence against women in situations of armed conflict. We have been able to produce both print and video documentaries on the violations of women, the specific violations, especially sexual violence, as well as the trauma that women experience in these situations. We also facilitate some Ugandan women to participate in international discussions, such as the peace-building cyber dialogues that the International Women's Tribune Center organized during the meeting of the UN Security Council in October 2005.
The International Women's Tribune Center, headquartered in New York, specializes in creating educational materials for women in developing countries to be able to make use of United Nations initiatives. They have begun a series of radio dramas and spots about Resolution 1325 in many languages. This one has versions in Swahili and English.
Hodi, hodi.
Hello, is anyone home?
Asante Nora. Mlio wake wa shangaza. Nilikuwa na wakati mgumu.
Oh, Charity. Ingia ukae.
Charity, come in. Sit down. I just put the kettle on.
Thank you, Nora. That sounds wonderful. I've had a bad day.
It's so good to see you. It has been a long time since any of our friends got together. But at last, hey, this conflict may be over. And those of us who are left can begin to get ourselves back together.
Yes, it's been a horrible period. War and violence never get us anywhere. Is your family all right?
Yes. Thank God they're all alive and reasonably well. And yours?
Yes. My family is fine as well. You know, Nora, that's one of the reasons I came over, besides just wanting to see you again. I've been thinking we are the lucky ones, and we need to find a way to smooth the road to peace in our country. I wanted to tell you about some new ideas I had.
You always have wonderful ideas, Charity. What's happening?
Well, have you heard about this new UN Resolution 1325?
Yes. I heard about it in one of the meetings in our organization. That's the one about women's participation in peace building, right? But honestly, I don't know how we can make use of this policy here in our country.
Well, I think the recent developments have been really exciting because now the discussions on Resolution 1325 are focused on developing national action plans that draw on our experiences and perspectives as women and how we contribute not only in peace building but also in the prevention of conflict. The National Action Plan on 1325 would also help our governments maintain its commitment on gender equality in conflict and even during a period of post-conflict reconstruction. This also means allocating funds and other resources to support women's peace initiatives at the local level. Believe me, Nora, I think we have a tool to help us make more of a difference. It is really groundbreaking for us. Let's make sure that the three P's, protection for women in conflict situations, prevention of violence, and participation of women in decision-making and the peacekeeping, peace-building processes happen through the national action plans. There are a lot of countries in Africa where the first two are critical, but it is the third one, participation of women in decision-making and the peacekeeping, where I think we can make a difference. I've been thinking about this a lot, and I began to talk to a few people. We need to participate in developing a national action plan so we can really participate in the peacekeeping afterwards. And that links to the prevention of future conflicts if we have a voice.
You're absolutely right, Charity. They need our voices, our perspectives. Look at how women suffered in this conflict. And our needs are different from men's. We try to protect our children. Many of us were raped. Some died. Women could do so much in preventing conflict in this first place, in building the peace and working towards social justice after these horrible times. Working on a national action plan makes a lot of sense. We could really help our government to understand the gender dimensions of violent conflicts before, during, and afterwards. How do you see it working?
First of all, it could bring key ministries and government departments together who never talk to each other, let alone about gender. And we could get them talking to other organizations who would be interested in these issues. We could get our women's groups together to publicize this to make sure we get a role in the decision making. Also the women lawyers, the human rights groups. And don't forget the important women who are already in the government. And we need to find sympathetic men in key positions and enlist them as partners.
You know, what's so exciting about this is that a national action plan would really be a tool for accountability of our government.
Yes, and the government is beginning to recognize that civic groups are important in implementing some of their political commitments. I heard some of the other African countries are beginning to use civic groups more effectively. You know, many things the government does in reconstruction have profound gender implications, and I'm sure they haven't given it a thought.
So, what do you think we should do? What are our first steps? Let's make a list.
First, let's call some of the other women's and other groups. Talk to a few people individually, both men and women, and then see if we can get a meeting.
Be informed. Be involved. Support women's participation in conflict prevention, resolution, and peace building. Let's get more of our African sisters to the peace tables. Support women's participation in conflict prevention, resolution, and peace building. Write, call, or visit this station to learn more about the UN Security Council Resolution 1325 and how best this could be used in your communities. A message from the International Women's Tribune Center in partnership with the Uganda Media Women's Association, UMWA, made possible by the support from the Human Security Program in the Department of Foreign Affairs and International Trade, Canada, United Nations Development Fund for Women, the Netherlands Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and this station.
Hello, everyone. I am Patrika Dallas of FemView Radio inside the United Nations, reporting for the Women's International News Gathering Service, WINGS. My guest today is Rachel Mayanja, Assistant Secretary General and Advisor on Gender Issues and the Advancement of Women. Ms. Mayanja will talk to us today about her section's contribution to the Secretary General's report to the Security Council, which is done once a year in commemoration of the adoption of Resolution 1325.
Thank you for having me.
I should thank you for having me since I'm sitting in your beautiful office. Can you explain what Resolution 1325 is?
It is a resolution of the Security Council in October 2000. the only resolution of the Security Council dealing with women, peace and security. It is a landmark resolution.
A landmark resolution?
Yes, it is the only one that comprehensively deals with women in conflict situations.
What is it since 2000 that you're, first of all, happy about?
Well, the first thing is we were happy that the Security Council finally recognized that women have a role to play in securing peace and security in the world. Secondly, we were happy that the Security Council recognized that women are not there just as victims, but also as active participants. So these are big achievements. In that context, we have mobilized women worldwide to take advantage of this newfound development so that they can actually influence what happens in situations like this. Do we have attention to women who are emerging out of conflict? Those women who have participated as combatants, do they get the same treatment as men? Are they being given the services that they need to recover from such trauma? Are they being supported? And do we recognize the role that women who stayed behind played in support of their communities, in support of the men who have gone fighting? Do we get enough support for women who are in internally displaced people's camps? Do they get the same amount of food as men are given? Is it recognized that they are the head of the families or the community, that they should be given enough to take care of everybody? These and such issues are what this resolution is bringing to the fore.
Has there been any, like, pioneering breakthrough answers that you can share with women around the world?
We have made some progress. For example, in the refugee camps and in the IDP camps, the UN recognized that it is the women who play a key role. And when food is given to women, then food is shared with everybody. Whereas if men were given, it's not always certain that they would be sharing it with the entire family. So there we have made some progress. We have made progress in the recognition that, regrettably, some peacekeepers and peacemakers have turned and preyed on the women that they are supposed to protect. There we have come up with robust policies that are helping to alleviate this scar. But not enough. I cannot sit here and tell you that I am satisfied with the achievement, the level of achievement that we have had. Many women from Sierra Leone, from DRC, have come here and discussed with me the fact that they are not getting the kind of attention that they would have expected to receive from the member states and from the UN system. We have a long way to go.
What are the roadblocks that this resolution have come upon for government to implement fully, if women are still complaining, and this was accepted by the United Nations, this resolution, and then it is not being fully implemented by these governments?
Well, I'm ashamed to admit to you that one of the biggest challenge is getting the governments to know about this resolution. You'll be amazed how many say they don't know about this resolution. So 6 years after the adoption of the resolution, we still have not disseminated this resolution as widely as we should have. That is one biggest challenge.
Why is that?
I am baffled myself because, you know, all governments are represented here at the UN, and this resolution has been, you know, distributed to all delegations at the UN. But still, I find that many people back home have not seen it. So I think there is a disconnect between New York and the capitals. And we need to find a way of bridging that disconnect. It is a big challenge, and it is obviously getting in the way of our success. Then, of course, where the resolution has arrived at home, in many cases, it hasn't been interpreted in the languages that people speak, so that, you know, if it is in English or French or whatever official language that may be, that is not necessarily understood by those who have never gone to school and those who need to apply this resolution. It may not necessarily be understood by the police forces that are supposed to apply this resolution also to themselves and in the protection of the women. There are many different institutions and setup that should understand the resolution, but regrettably, they don't understand it. Then, of course, we also have, regrettably, the stereotype, the traditional culture mindset that do not allow for the resolution to be taken seriously and to be embraced by all those that have this mindset. We still have to work hard on this.
With you eventually be calling for penalty, if you will, for governments, for them to really be responsible, because too often, no matter what resolution, it's just never reached the country level, as you're saying.
I think the solution, in my view, does not lie in penalties, but rather in partnerships. And I think we do need to support governments by expanding the network of partners who are going to take this resolution right to the ground. In this regard, we have very good working partnerships with non-government organizations, with civil society, parliamentarians. You know, there are many, even private sector. We've got to expand our partnership. We've got to use the youth. The youth are a very good source of disseminating this resolution. So I think we should not look at government as the only source of action, the only point of action. I think we can act. And the women's organizations are very active in this regard. And I think we will do better, and we will, you know, we will be able to disseminate it as wisely as possible. And then from there, try to get the governments to do more.
Rachel Mayanja is Special Advisor to the UN Secretary General on Gender Issues and the Advancement of Women. She was interviewed for Wings by UN correspondent Patrika Dallas. Patrika Dallas knows a lot about what Rachel Mayanja is up against in trying to influence the UN's peacekeeping mission. Until recently, Dallas was the general manager of a radio station supporting the UN's peacekeeping in Sierra Leone.
1325 1325
1325
1325 Hey, Nena, what do you mean 1325? Are you teaching the kid how to count?
No, Dad. Mom's telling me about her meeting.
Of course not. I'm not teaching her how to count. I'm telling her about the community meeting today where we discussed the United Nations Security Council Resolution 1325. It's an international policy that talks about women's role in peace building.
Dad, Mom says women should know about the laws that protect our lives and about what's going on in our country. I want to come to the meetings too.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Can you explain it again so I will understand it too?
As I was saying, at the community meeting today, we spoke about this policy called the UN Security Council Resolution 1325 on Women, Peace and Security. When I first heard about it, I wondered how useful it would be. But after our discussion, I realized that it's such an important resolution that recognizes our participation in decision-making on conflict resolution.
Oh, get serious, Dana. What makes you think women know anything about peace and security issues?
I'm serious, Alberto. Women should be involved in discussions and decision-making in conflict prevention and conflict resolution. And women are very capable of that.
If you're so capable, why aren't there women there? Why aren't women coming forward?
Because not many women are given opportunities to participate. It's a men-only club. And because we have been taught that we are not capable of participating in such discussions, we've been conditioned to think that we cannot do this. We need to change this. As women, we need to gain confidence in our abilities to participate in such discussions. In the meeting today, we were actually talking of organizing leadership and public speaking training to enable ourselves to participate effectively in discussions on laws and policies.
But what can you do here, really?
What we are asking of governments and the warring parties is that they respect evacuation camps as safe spaces for civilians. In particular, we ask the parties to look at the specific needs of women in the camps, like providing decent sleeping quarters, adequate water supply, and separate toilets.
Oh, so women are going to change the world?
Well, we're going to change our part of the world because that's how change happens. So few women know about Resolution 1325, and the first thing that we're going to do is to let more women know about it.
That sounds really practical and useful. Go ahead. Attend your meetings. I'll attend to the children.
No, Dad. I want to come to Mom's meetings. Mom, can I go to the meetings? I really want to go.
Of course, sweetheart. We'll go to the meetings together. You will be one of the next generations of peace negotiators here in Mindanao.
Be informed. Be involved. Support women's participation in conflict prevention, resolution, and peace building. Write, call, or visit this station to learn more about the UN Security Council Resolution 1325 and how best this could be used in your communities. A message from the International Women's Tribune Center, with support from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Finland, the Netherlands Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and this station.
You can hear this program again in the archive section of the website, www.wings.org. Special thanks to your local station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, analyst and champion of the gift economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle Is Cast. I'm Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
I say, my sister, my dear.
Yeah?
So you want to tell me that the reporting jail right in our nose and they coming to tell offering the disgrace camp to go away again?
I'm telling you.
I mean, those greedy poor people, they in Warsaw, Porto, just sitting over there, fighting over power and with the poor people in the disgrace camp suffering. Look, they have finished killing my only husband. And some of my children finish dying from hunger.
Stop crying.
Look at me, man. Hey, the same rebel that raped me and my own daughter told them my daughter get rebel baby here. Yeah? And even my husband even died from the same war.
My sister, Tawon,
yeah.
That's true. Just look at our children. No food, no hospital. We were just sitting here and die like this.
This is a painful, real problem. Liberian women who spend most of their lives in this space camp are facing as a result of war that cannot end.